Hey, the Crows AGM was last night. They posted a $1.49 million operating profit. It's on the back of record revenue, membership, corporates and merchandise. Joining us now is Crows CEO Andrew Fagan. Andrew, that is a damn solid result.
Hey, g'day guys. How you doing?
Great.
Look, it is a good result. I said last night at the members' meeting that you've got to stand at the front whether the results are good, bad or indifferent, but it's certainly more pleasant to do so when you can speak positively about the performance over the past 12 months and being optimistic about the year ahead. So a lot of hard work went into it. And said the staff were fantastic and the community that supports us, our supporters, members and the corporate community were all wonderful. And it's great to make that turnaround. But the journey's a journey and we've got a lot more work to do.
Now, can you just summarise some of the highlights for those who might have missed it?
There was improvement right across the club, which was the most pleasing thing. We had record sponsorship, record merchandise sales, record hospitality sales, and record revenue. Revenue was up by $5 million. It's obviously important to us. So, the Adelaide Oval deal helped to some extent, but importantly, it wasn't the only part. There was improvement across pretty much every one of our revenue streams, which enabled us to invest more into the football to take us right up to that cap, to the soft cap. We invested in other areas that were important to us, the membership program, our digital platform, which people engage with us so significantly on. So it was good news. And obviously the performance of the team, which was really positive and helped to drive a lot of that growth. So across the board, there was progress made and, we hit our budget. That was it's important for me. I want us to have a culture where we hit our budgets but it's a start and we've got to continue to get better and, both on field and off field.
Just had a couple of inquiries from different people today in terms, so you can compare apples to apples. Was depreciation included in the result?
Well, the bottom line is you can't compare apples to apples because you've got different ownership structures.
I was more thinking last year. You had depreciation in there last year.
So it's a $2 million. So apples and apples, it's a $2 million turnaround. So last year's was a loss of $400,000. Mm-hmm. And this year it's an operating surplus of 1.49. So it's effectively a $2 million, $1.9 million turnaround, apples and apples from last year.
Now, we talked about the ins. What about the outs, the transport levy, the licence fees, the equalisation grant, around $2 million? I heard Rob Chapman on our brekkie team this year. You're a long way back before a ball's even bounced, Fags. How can you control any of those?
Yeah, so it's one of the challenges at the moment. And, we had the AFL in town today, and it's one of the obviously important points that we landed with those guys. But we've got some structural inequities, I guess, or inequalities that exist, right across the competition, and some that are, quite unique to our position here, and whether that's the underwrites that we provide to SANFL, that obviously the fee that we pay to play to participate in SANFL, the transport levy, the game development grant that we give to SANFL that came as a result of our acquisition of our license. So there's a lot that goes out, and I'm not necessarily disputing the validity of them, but when you then weigh that up against the other 17 clubs, you've got apples, oranges, bananas and pears, that you're trying to compare. And the AFL's, I think, got to do a better job to individualise the way in which they distribute and invest their funds to take into account those significant differences. And I think that, we had broad acknowledgement of that today. It's a complex job because you've got 18 different business models that effectively run. We've got two different business models that run in this state with two different teams, and but they've got to do that as part of the work that will take place through 2016 as they work out how they're going to distribute the new broadcast deal.
Talking about apples and oranges and pears, sounds like you got a lemon.
Where's my lemon?
It's a pretty sour taste. While we're talking fruits.
No, I've learnt just to taste it and get on with it. So bite quickly. But it is tough. There's the bottom line is it's completely inappropriate as it currently sits for us to be paying $800,000 in equalisation funds. The other clubs that pay a similar amount to that. Have very different balance sheets, very different profit amounts, very different gaming revenue, given that we don't have any, we sit as an absolute outlier, and it's inappropriate for us to be grouped in with those guys. I think there's acknowledgement of that. I'm hoping that they'll be both reviewed and fixed this year. And I made that point on multiple occasions with absolute clarity at a good hint of aggression today, as I've done on a number of occasions. And I hope we'll get that sorted through the course of the year.
Well, that's a huge fight, Fags, and you're up for that with your executive team. But in a two-team town, when you're meant to be all equal, and one pays that and the other one doesn't, I think is an absolute dead-set joke. And the AFL's got that horribly wrong. I got a quick text on 1-999-13.
Well, can I just say on that, mate, yeah. I'm actually, just so it's clear on this stuff, I'm okay with equalisation. So it's just about how you equalise. So I don't mind, we need 18 clubs that are viable and strong. In this state, we want two clubs that are viable and strong. I'm up for that. And sometimes, one club might need assistance to get there. I'm okay with that. It's just about then the model that you apply to make it happen. Mm. And you got to, when you're sort of looking at robbing Peter and paying Paul, you've got to make sure that, Peter's got the funds to do so, and it's appropriate that they're paying. And the moment the model's not right, to support the equalisation strategy that I think is, is an okay one.
Well, I'm not a fan of equalisation, but that's another fight, and I've had that with the AFL. Anyway, 1-999-13-95, a fan question, a supporter question. When are you going to get a clubhouse or a footprint in the city?
Well, I think we've run over this ground a little while ago, so we obviously, we've got a long-term lease here. We don't pay any money on it. We've got great facilities. We've invested more into these facilities over the last 12 months. They're fantastic for our players. And so we've got no need to go in the foreseeable future.
Okay.
But if a great opportunity emerges, then my eyes are wide open, and, we'll continue to look at opportunities. I look at this right across the business, whether it's sponsorship or, membership or other opportunities to grow our club so that we can, it makes it better for our supporters and our players, and we can become more prosperous, together. We're going to look at every opportunity to do that. And if that includes, other locations, then that's a good thing as well. So we'll look, but those things aren't easy. They're to replicate what we've got here is a $30 million investment. It requires a large piece of land. It requires probably the support of council, of government, of community groups, and obviously needs to meet the needs of the organisation. So it's not as though that's a simple thing, and it's something that said it'll remain on the agenda until the lease ends here in 33 years, or until we find a solution between now and then.
What about just an area where Crows members, supporters can meet after a game, a la the shed, that is missing at the moment?
It's funny, someone at the members' meeting yesterday raised that, and then after the meeting, he came up and had a chat with me. And he said, what we really could do is like somewhere we can socialise and have it as part of a club. And I said, he raised Mark Rusciutto, actually, and the Alma. And I said, well, you should head out there. And he goes, no, I want one that's close to me. And he said, I live out Westlake Way. So we're going to find it difficult to buy pubs, right around the state of South Australia to live close to.
But somewhere close to the Oval, that's straight after a game, people can go to.
Yeah, well, I think one of the benefits of being in the city is that one of the reasons I think Adelaide Oval is such a success is that there are hundreds of venues that people go to after the game. That's one of the reasons that there's been $80 million in economic impact in the city from playing football games there. That's a great thing. So I think there's lots of options. I would love to find somewhere where it's a go-to place for those supporters who want to celebrate as a group, and we do a little bit of it at the venue, and then to do something post-match somewhere would be great. And maybe as part of the planned Riverbank precinct development over the coming years, there'll be a place that's adjacent to the stadium that will have sufficient space to accommodate us, and that's something that I'd certainly be looking to explore.
An immediate battle, and we spoke to Gil McLachlan on Monday. Will that strong financial result carry any weight for the first AFL women's licence for 2017?
Well, I'd like to think so. the AFL needs to have confidence that the team can be supported, and that you know, it's not anyone holding a license isn't going to that's not going to become an additional burden on the AFL. And you know, we're not only confident that we can do that, but also that it might generate funds that can be invested back into the pathway. So it'll be a part of the tender process, no doubt, and I'm sure it's one that we'll we'll be able to address really strongly. But to be fair, I think we can address all elements of that process really strongly. We're well advanced in our planning, and I've got every confidence that the AFL will make a good decision.
Just one final one. Were you happy with how the Daniel Taylor announcement unfolded?
5 years, pretty good announcement. So I'm more than happy with how it unfolded. And, Pikey got rapturous applause in letting the members know last night, who attended our members' meeting. And so, mate, yeah, look, he's obviously a tremendous player and an important part of our group, a leader within the team, on and off the field, and it's great to have him commit long-term to the club.
Thanks for having a chat with us, Andrew. Congratulations on your magnificent profit. It's a big turnaround, $2 million. Good luck for the year, and it looks as if you've got a team that's fit and firing and looking forward to the year, as a whole group of supporters are as well.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And look, thank you to all of our supporters as well. We can't achieve anything that we do without the support that they provide us, and the backbone to that result, and they continue to support us in droves this year. So thanks to all of them. Thanks, guys.
Andrew Fagan-Crowe, CEO, our guest.